Welcome to Careertools. This week, the power of understanding in relationships, part one. The questions this cast answers are, why is understanding so important in relationships? Why are relationships so important in careers? And what is the right thing to do when we don't understand?
Which matters more, that someone can do the job or that they can fit in with the team? Of course. It's a trick question. We want both. The newly revamped Video Effective Hiring Manager course will get you from vacancy to onboarding even faster, answering all the questions you have in between and working with whatever system HR has put into place to facilitate hiring in your organization. Start building your dream team today. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/products.
The phrase "Seek first to understand" is one of Stephen Covey's habits in the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. But it comes to us from St. Francis of Assisi and many others throughout history, because it's so fundamental to relationships to first understand the person rather than jump down their throat, which is what most of us do when we see something, hear something that we don't understand when someone does it. If we don't try and understand other people. And other people are weird. Have you noticed that? Other people do the weirdest things.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? And if we don't try and understand them, we probably have no relationships at all. And if we have no relationships, we have no careers. And I know this sounds like the beginning of like a church service and not career advice, but then the not so secret about organizations is they are full of people. And those people are much like the people everywhere else, and they do weird things, and we have to understand them. And so seek first to understand is still helpful and useful and necessary advice, we think. So we're going to explain why.
And we're going to talk about first, seek first to understand. Then why did they say that? Also, why did they do that? Why did they decide to do that? And lastly, whenever someone is acting out of character, those are what we're going to cover.
So let's talk a little bit more about seek first to understand. So careers, I think we have said on every single Career Tools cast, are built on results and relationships. You have to do your job to a certain standard, and you have to have relationships with the people in your team and in the company. You can get results and have no relationships, and you'll end up being fired because people don't want to work with you. You can have relationships and not get results, and you'll be fired because you haven't done for the company what they're paying you to do. And if you want to get scientific about relationships, in part, relationships are about communication, and communication is about understanding one another. And so understanding is part of a successful career because, you know, the math adds up. And that's understanding in the sense of understanding where someone is coming from or putting yourself in the other guy's shoes. And it's probably a much more touchy-feely subject than many of us would want to deal with in the workplace. I think it's Sarah who's famous for saying feelings should stay at home under the bed where they belong.
Yeah, they don't belong at work, right?
Exactly, yeah. And many of us would say we're pretty understanding. We're nice people. We do what's right. Like, why do we have to even think about this stuff?
Yeah, and this might, like Wendy said, seem more touchy-feely. But again, we cannot have a podcast without talking about relationships, and that's going to be our focus. Also, if you think about it, you spend more time with the folks at work than you do with anybody else in your life. So that's why those relationships are important and having that understanding. So it might seem like we're giving not so traditional like behavioral guidance, but when it comes to other people, we tend to jump to conclusions, especially when we don't understand where they're coming from. I do this. I see other people do it. In fact, we have a whole conference based on communication where throughout the day I say, hey, I promise you, people behave in a way that they find valuable. We just have to understand it and know that they are coming from a good place. I love to say, I promise you, no one is out to ruin your day. And we're going to say that a lot in this podcast today. We promise. their intention is to not ruin your day, even though every time someone does something that we don't quite understand, it feels like they are definitely out to ruin our day. So when we have that judgment or when we jump to that conclusion, I mean, we say we're trying to understand, but then it's our perception and we tend to take a negative look at it, right? Our first instinct is not a positive one, typically, right? We even have that podcast, Assume Positive Intent. Now, what we're doing is we're actually interpreting. It's like watching a TV show in a foreign language and guessing what's happening without really knowing what's being said. And 90% of the time, you're probably right. Maybe once a week or so, you'll think to yourself, why did that person do that? Why did they do that? Why did they say that? And instead of reacting to a full understanding of the situation, we tend to react on our interpretation of the situation. So that's where we get ourselves into a little bit of trouble. And that's why Stephen Covey said, and the others told us, to seek first to understand.
And if we use a different analogy and we compare people to code, because that's easier, right? People in code.
Absolutely. Make it binary, right?
Yeah. Perhaps the reason why understanding is so powerful will become more clear. So if a piece of code given to us by a colleague had an unexpected result, if you run a piece of code and it comes from someone else and you get to the end and it doesn't say hello world, which is what it's supposed to do, your first response is not to assume that the code is mad at you or to assume it has ill intent or to assume the code is stupid. You might assume something about the coder, but you don't assume anything about the code. You assume that what it did was logical in the circumstances that it had. You assume that given the inputs that it was given and the code, the way it was written, it did what it was supposed to do. And your response to the unexpected output is to go back to the top and read the code and try and understand why is it doing that. You're trying to understand where it's coming from. And occasionally code makes some inexplicable hiccup. And the next time you run it, it's fine. And I don't understand how that can even happen, but it seems to. But most of the time, you'll get to a point where the code has some faulty view of the situation, right? It's interpreting something incorrectly. It's getting the wrong data in, or that there's a missing colon. And that makes all the difference because code is inexplicable. Maybe it's using an old library or the decision weighting is off. And the outcome, even though it's wrong, it makes sense when you follow all those steps through. When you can see the decision making, when you can see, oh, it thought that X was 3, or it's looking at the library that's out of date. Of course, it gave me the wrong outcome. Then you've understood why it did what it did. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So if we put aside the thought that everyone is out to get us and that other people are incomprehensible and that politics is beneath us, if we start treating people like code by trying to understand them, we're going to have an increase in opportunity for successful relationships and successful careers.
And we all want that.
Yeah. That's why we go to work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As podcasters, we tend to listen to other people's podcasts too. And Maggie on our team listens to a wellness and health podcast and just loves how they can break down into small, actionable pieces the guidance so it can be implemented by the masses. And at Manager Tools, we're a bit like that too. Our guidance is small, actionable pieces that can be easily implemented by individuals who are listening on our website to our free podcasts. However, if what you want is more than easily actionable to the masses guidance, you want guidance that's specifically tailored and customized to your organization, send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com. And we can take that classic Manager Tools guidance and design it in such a way that'll resonate with you and your organization.
One of the impetuses or one of the signals to you that you need to have a moment of stop and wait a minute, and am I understanding? I need to go through this process of go back to the top and think about the steps that this person has gone through and understand it, is if you think to yourself, why did they say that? Or why did they say that? Or whatever it sounds in the tone of your voice in your own head. If you don't understand why someone would have said that, then if it was, why did they say that? Or why did they say it in that tone? Or why did they say it in front of those people? Or why did they say it to that person? They said it for some kind of reason. And if you can't understand why they said it, that's a signal to you that it's possible they did something wrong and stupid. That is absolutely possible. You are drawing the right conclusions. But that's not helpful. What's helpful is to go back and go, okay, where was the wrong input? Where was the library they were looking at that was wrong? If we go back, where was the error that made them do the thing that was stupid and wrong?
Yeah.
It's interesting, of course, that we wouldn't even have to be making this podcast if we ever assumed that people did things for positive reasons. If your instant reaction to why would they say that is always negative, that's why we have to write this. And as you said, people don't come to work with the intention of messing up your day or saying something stupid or wrong. What does my dad tell me? Think first, then open mouth. I never do that. I sometimes do that. Most often I open my mouth and then think after someone said, why would you say that? And I don't intend to put my foot in my mouth ever, but it just happens. So people don't come in to intentionally insult you. It just happens.
Yeah. And I mean, we react so frequently to what is being said before anything else. What we say and what we mean are not always the same thing. Like the words come out of your mouth and you're like, ooh, okay, I'm going to try that differently. Right. We do that all the time. I know I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. However, we don't give anybody else that same grace, right? We're like, well, I didn't mean it like that. So if the what was said doesn't make sense, then it probably wasn't what they meant. So the first thing to do is ask what was meant, and not in the tone of accusation, but in a tone that conveys open-mindedness, curiosity, and a genuine attempt to seek understanding from that person.
So I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood you. Can you just say that again in other words? Or, I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood you. Are you saying X? Or did you mean Y? Or you meant X, not Y, right? Or I'm struggling to follow that. Can you say that in smaller words?
Yeah, and in all those examples, if you notice, you kind of take a little ownership yourself before you ask the, oh, explain it, right? Because sometimes we misinterpret or we don't understand, and that can be on us. So taking some responsibility too in that conversation can make it a lot easier to be able to ask when you don't understand from other people. It hits a little softer, I feel like.
Yes, it is. It makes it less accusatory. Even if you're absolutely certain the other person is in the wrong, by saying it that way, you prevent the conversation from escalating immediately.
Yeah. Especially if you want to keep the relationship, this is a good way to go about it, right?
Yes.
Not just jumping in there and accusing folks. Now, especially when communication is written, we know that the nuance is lost. And what was intended to be conveyed rarely is, right? You can take a text message 17 different ways, right? I actually apologized to Katie this morning. I wrote her a note that got shipped in the box. And I was like, I just want you to know I was saying, like, please be careful of this, not you need to fix this, because I would have read it exactly that way. If I got the note, like, you did this wrong. And I was like, that's not what I meant. I was like, I just want, it was about markers. I didn't want them to get everywhere. You know, I just gave her a heads up, because written, you could have taken it, again, 17 different ways. So you also have to kind of be aware of that medium, right? If the misunderstood communication is written, it's almost always better to try a different way to do it or to hear it, instead of just rewriting the same thing. So I did it verbally, right? I was like, hey, I wrote this, but please know that this is the tone that I was actually using, so we don't have that miscommunication. So it's always better to move to a medium where you can hear and see the other person. Otherwise, all that you're going to ensure is that your explanatory email or paragraphs that you're writing back and forth are going to have to be longer and more detailed, and it may never be as clear as you want it to be. So you can always pick up the phone and it takes about 10 more seconds instead of writing those back and forth emails of like, no, I really didn't mean that.
Yeah.
They can still take that the wrong way, no matter how many times you write it down.
Yeah.
It depends on the other person's mood, maybe. Maybe they're having a rough day, so they're taking everything a bit harsh, right? And you don't mean it. So being able to hear the tone can always be helpful.
The point at which somebody else says, it's okay, you can just stop digging that hole, is right. The point at which they've realized that you actually genuinely didn't mean to say whatever it was, that the way it came over, and that they've forgiven everything. And you never get to that point in email. That you can go on forever on email. Whereas if you pick up the phone or have whatever technology you're using, have a face-to-face or a voice conversation, somehow you can get to that point where the other person can hear your voice in your voice, that you're really trying to find the right words and you're failing miserably because the more you say, the worse it gets. And then if hopefully they'll say, it's all right, you can just stop digging, it's fine.
Right. Hopefully they say that before you do. You're like, oh, I'm just digging myself in a hole. I'm quitting right here. We're just going to stop this conversation, right?
Yeah. And for those of us who think that apologizing is a sign of weakness and would never apologize for something that's someone else's fault, we should get over that pretty quickly. Because communication takes two. And although it's possible the communication, it could have been communicated more clearly, it's also possible that we could have heard it more effectively too.
Yeah. Because we don't always understand that some people are making an effort. It might miss, but we see that in a different light than maybe they do. Mm-hmm. So if the words that have been used are ones that are no longer acceptable and are incorrect when referring to a certain person or a group of people, then don't immediately assume negative intent. And this is an interesting one, I would say, nowadays, because there's so many more words that can incite those feelings, mm-hmm. right? That you hear them and you're like, oh, we don't say that anymore. We can't say that, but they don't mean it. I would love to say, like, some of the people in my life, slightly older than me, sometimes you're like, yeah, no, we definitely can't say that. I know that's not how you mean it. And if you say that to anyone but me, it's not going to go over very well. So if that happens, especially in the workplace, don't assume that's always that negative. And you can always ask in private if that person knows, you know, that that's not really a word to be used nowadays.
Yeah, as you said, for the older colleagues, the number of words that have become unusable in the last 20 years is quite mind-boggling and hard to keep up with. Complimenting someone on being articulate is nearly always a comparison with themselves. And, you know, you're just articulate, not a comment on race or gender or age or anything else. And we are not excusing deliberate acts of discrimination or bias or hostility. But what we are saying is, be sure that's what you heard before you get mad about it. Just assume sometimes people just don't know what they're saying or are unconscious of what they're saying. And I'll tell you a story. I was at dinner with some people a long time ago when I first met Americans, and I was trying to explain to them about Essex jokes. And Essex is an area in the UK, and it's one of those things, every country has a place in their country where they make the jokes about. It's kind of like rednecks in America, like the jokes are about rednecks. And I was explaining the jokes, and I was giving them a couple of example jokes, and I was like, you know, Essex girls, they're always blonde, and they're this, and they're that, and the other. And the person I was with, wife, left to go to the restroom. And he said to me, this Essex jokes thing, you weren't saying something about my wife, were you? Because she's blonde. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, absolutely not. I hadn't even, no, it's a thing. And no, hadn't even crossed my mind, hadn't made the connection at all, and was absolutely mortified. And that's what happens sometimes. I told you, I put my foot in my mouth more often than I want to admit. Sometimes that's all it is. People just aren't committing deliberate acts of discrimination or bias or hostility. And just be sure that that's what they're really doing before you get mad about it.
Yeah. And Wendy, you're not alone. I think most of us can say we've had those moments in life where we're like, yeah, that's absolutely not what I meant. Yeah. And then you're mortified.
Yes. Right?
You're like, oh gosh. Especially with how much we can communicate with people within different cultures. Like things don't sound the same, or we think it's okay over there, but it's not over here. And it's not that I would go into another country and do something to deliberately be disrespectful, but you just might not know. And so give them a heads up, right? Or ask them just to clarify. Now again, maybe on the off, they really did mean it. Hopefully not, but.
Yeah. They really did mean it, that's fine. But we said at the beginning, maybe the code is looking at an outdated library.
Yeah.
That's all for this week. We'll be back to finish this cast next week. Bye, everyone.